If you listen closely, you can hear the chants out of Redmond. We're number two.
We're number asterix.
I tell you what, though, that's probably the biggest, loudest news, best news they've heard about browsers out of Microsoft
since the 1990s.
Long time. So for those who aren't familiar, that real quick, there was a story out that says that Edge, the Chrome version of Edge, is now the second most popular browser, just barely, in the world.
Well, see, that's one of the asterisks, because it's not really clear. Actually, it's probably both versions of Edge combined, because they don't break the other one out. I'm okay with it. You know, the data is a little squishy, but I was thinking about this earlier today. You know, I think how do we determine that what Microsoft did in switching to Chromium is successful? Not technically successful, but successful as a product.
Yeah.
And I think I'd have to say it has to be double digit usage share, right? 10%. 10%, yeah. And then we'll take it from there. Like, that should be the baseline.
Yeah.
On the desktop.
That's probably, I mean, the reason why I'm not saying like, yes, that's absolutely a reason, because it's been so low for so long that maybe 10% is fair, because that to Microsoft is a huge.
Yeah. Just get it somewhere reasonable. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, Firefox has been stuck now below 10% for a while. It seems to be like it was 12, 13 for a long time, and it was like 10-ish, and now it might be under 10. I don't know what's going on there, but. The real big, maybe the better way to look at it is if it impacts Chrome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because if it does, well, we can do the math now. Let's say it is, what, 7%, something like that?
Yeah.
So that means roughly, what, 70 million users? Because we know that there's a billion.
Oh, I see. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So.
So not 330 million then. Interesting. Yeah, I just pulled that number out of my butt, but you know, so, just random,
kind of just random. A random factoid for you, which is interesting. I think the bigger story potentially here is, I think we got to let it kind of mature a little longer. That Chromium Edge is brand new, like brand new.
Oh yeah, yep.
In the browser world, yes, it's been out roughly, you know, since late last year, but it's not even really generally available yet. It hasn't even shipped. Like natively,
it's not been automatically delivered to anyone yet. Yeah. That's true. It is, you know, it's available for free on the web, obviously. Yeah. It's, you know, completed in the sense that
version
they shipped
one.
A stable channel version of it, but it's not feature complete yet.
Right. It's whatever. Fine, though. I use it every day now.
I've been using it. I feel like I've been using it for over a year.
Staring at it, looking at
it's
it.
It's great. The only thing I wish it had is that extension sync, and it is coming. So
yeah,
that's fine.
That it is. Hold on. Why is my Skype ringing? Which, depending on how my audio is wired up today, that might have just kind of whatever.
Called yourself.
Yeah. So.
Take advantage of some of those free conference calls that nobody knows exist.
that has been killing me. It's been making like tons of headlines. It's Skype is back. Skype makes feature change that everybody's been. No. This has been there for a while. Microsoft. This is classic Microsoft. They had the feature. They had the product. They just never talked about it.
Yeah. Skype has suffered from some of the same problems that Windows Phone suffered from, in that there was a big platform change underneath that kind of ground everything to a standstill for a while. And then, of course, they went in different tangents on the UI for the client. And it's still not clear today what the final outcome of all that is.
Oh, I can tell you what the final outcome is going to be. It's going to rhyme with beams.
Well, I was going to say, and then Teams happened. Of course, Teams as a force of nature inside of Microsoft, you know, in 3 years has exploded. I mean, so it probably will end up replacing Skype at some point. But, you know, maybe the Skype brand is just too compromised.
Yeah.
Because of their, you know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so there's been a lot of negative talk around Zoom lately. It's really easy to use.
Dude, there isn't a day that goes by where I wake up and there's not a news story about some, you know, security nastiness or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So it's the idea here is that Zoom is very easy to use, but it's kind of shady how they got there.
Yeah.
Actually, it was, I think, the New York Public Schools I think over the weekend said, hey, stop using Zoom for the students. Now, this is an interesting one because on one hand, it's really, really easy for students and parents at home who aren't technically adept to get into Zoom meetings and see their classrooms and all that stuff. That is the argument for it. The backside of it is actually kind of, it sounds like the administration or like the IT side saying, hey, look, you're exposing our entire infrastructure of student data every time you use Zoom.
Yeah, I mean, that's a powerful platform right there for hackers or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, so you, right before we started talking about this, you talking about switching phones again because.
Well, when I switched to Mint Mobile, I switched to the iPhone and that was always temporary. I wanted to just kind of start, you know, I've been doing this. I revisited the Pixel 3a XL last month. Wanted to look again at the iPhone. And I think I'm going to, I think the next one's going to be the OnePlus 7T, which came out last fall. And then of course, you know, new phones are coming and whatever. But I have to say, I find the iPhone to be pretty great overall. I mean, even with its, you know, the weird iOS-isms and the camera's not quite what I want. I'm used to that kind of saturated HDR thing. But I could see most people being very happy with this. I mean, I don't have any major complaints. Well, I mean, the cost. I mean, you know, when this phone came out, it was probably, I think it was $1,100.
Yeah.
And if you flash forward to today and you go to buy it today, it's $1,100. Like, if you wanted to buy like the Samsung I was using previously on day one, it was like $1,250 or something. 2 weeks from now, it's going to be like $700. like those things go down in price over time. So a good strategy there is just to wait, but it doesn't really happen on the Apple side. Like you can get refurbished things, but if you go and look at the store, I think the newest refurbished iPhone today might be a XS or an XS, whatever they call it, a XS, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's what I use. It's a fine phone, but
I should say too, on that note, whatever the expense is of this thing. If you plan to use it for 3 years or more, which most people probably do these days, and you could absolutely do that, honestly, it's not an investment or anything, but I mean, it's as far as value goes, it's nice to spend $600 on a phone instead of $1,100. But I mean, if you want something that's going to last for a long time and give you kind of a consistent amount of quality, et cetera, I mean, iOS 13 updates be damned. iPhones, you know, they do some things right. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, there was a rumor out over the weekend about, well, I mean, call it a rumor, whatever. It's people got a hold of some early iOS 14 bits. Supposedly widgets are coming to the home screen, maybe, which I think we've only been asking since like iOS 2.
Yeah.
So
I only use a single widget, which is basically the weather and the time.
That's all I want too. I just want, I want the old style HTC, the one that made famous, the little clock that has
thing
a,
on the top or whatever.
It has a sun, it has the clock, it has the date, and that's all I need right there at the top.
For that to be useful, you need the thing that I really want for iOS, and I think a lot of iOS users do as well, which is the ability to put icons anywhere on the screen.
That's part two of, you can put a widget on the home screen finally.
You want to put it on the top.
Yes.
Plus, when you're using a phone one-handed, you can reach the icons on the bottom.
Yep.
The way iOS fills it now, they're from the top.
Yep.
So the big phone, you know, it's hard to reach. So, yeah, those things, that, I mean, there is zero excuse for this taking over a decade, but
here we are.
That would be quite a welcome change.
Here we are. So, I don't know, couple big hitters for the day for a Monday, right? We'll see if Edge. I can't imagine Microsoft's going to come out and celebrate this. That'd be really embarrassing if they do. Saying like,
it's a little too transient. I would wait for a couple months, make sure this doesn't, go in a different. It could dip a little. You know, we'll see. Yeah. But I said, I think 10%. There's your first milestone. Then we can start talking. You know, where we go from there. The other half of this coin is mobile and Edge. Is negligible on mobile. It's 0.03% market share or usage share. It's number 13 in usage behind such stalwarts as the Samsung browser and Baidu. You know, like it's just not very well, you know, often used. But that's, you know, if more people use it on the desktop, there's your natural mobile. It works just like Chrome or Safari, depending which phone you have, and then, you know, you get all the sync stuff, which is, I think, is what most people kind of want. So yeah. I don't know.
So if you want to understand the, well, there are two things that I had in my head. One is that if Microsoft does come out and celebrate this, kind of just tells you how bad the other Edge was, which
I, yeah. Well, you know what, the other thing I maybe, and I didn't write this in the article, but I think part of the success of the new Edge has to be its availability on other platforms, right? You know, tying it just to Windows 10, yeah, you know, today you could say, look, there's a billion Windows 10 users, I mean, whatever, but I think making this thing broadly available signals a seriousness of intent, I guess, on Microsoft's part to make a real go of this and to give its users an alternative to Chrome wherever they are. So I think that's smart. It's even if the Mac numbers are not that big, or the Windows 7 or Windows 8, whatever numbers aren't that big, I still think that cross-platform thing is huge.
Yeah, it's definitely not hurting things. I think that's...
Yeah, and you kind of get it semi-automatically with Chromium or whatever, but but it's forced them to rethink how they do things. And that, you know, they had that announcement about scrolling, where they're benefited all Chromium browsers, which is really nice. But they, you know, it's like the WinUI separation from UWP. I mean, you go down a certain path for what seems like good reasons, and then after the fact, it's like, you know, actually, we should have separated this thing out because there's all kinds of versioning issues, et cetera, in the case of WinUI, and then. The case of the browser, it's like we can iterate this thing much more quickly when it's not tied to the milestone based, you know, OS development stuff. So it's good.
Yeah, it's good. So you got anything else for today?
No, I'm gonna, hopefully today, I don't know what you did, I don't know what your weather is like, but it was beautiful here yesterday, and today it's supposed to be in the 60s and sunny. So my only real goal today is to be outside later in the day.
It's supposed to be decent here. I think overcast or something, but I don't know, whatever. It was a little chilly yesterday, but it's nice. It's a nice time of the year, minus the whole we can't go outside or die situation.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to be able to enjoy it vicariously by looking through the window.
Yeah. You know, Windows 10 had it right, that little can at the beginning. Just...
Right. Windows, not doors.